Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
How many of you have seen the commercial? It shows an elderly person who has fallen down and they say, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." How many have seen that commercial? You've been there, done that. You know, there's times, I have to admit, when I see the commercial, the actors seem a little cheesy, okay? They seem a little fake, not genuine. And when I see the commercial, I every time I see it, no matter how many times I see it, I always kind of laugh because it just doesn't seem genuine. I mean, if you've truly fallen and you can't get up, you're a little bit more emotional about it than the way they are on the TV. And the thing is, while it's cheesy there, when it happens to you in real life, it's not funny at all. It's a very serious matter. And sometimes in our spiritual lives, we're at a place where we're help. I've fallen and I can't get up. And we feel alone. We feel isolated. Maybe it's a problem, a situation at work, a family issue, a financial matter. Maybe it's something from our past or something from our present. But something in life knocks us down, and we just feel we're down for the count, and we can't get up. And we feel there's nobody around to help us. And yet, as you look at the Bible, as you look at what God says about us as Christians, none of us should ever be in a place where we feel so unconnected that there's nobody there to lift us up and to help us in our time of need. And as we read Ecclesiastes, if you're having problems finding it, if you know where Psalms is, find Psalms, and it's Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and this is what he says in chapter 4, verse 9. He says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Solomon here shows us the value of relationship. He shows us the importance of being connected, of being linked and integrated with other people of like faith. We cannot do life alone. You've heard me say it before, there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. Hey, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Batman has Robin, okay? You know, you need a partner. You need somebody to be connected with to walk through the Christian life. And up on the screen, you can see our logo for our series. We're in this Grow series. It's a 5-week series, and the first week we talked about going. The first way that we grow is by going. Our bodies have to constantly be reproducing cells for our bodies to grow. This week, we're going to talk about connecting. The second key thing for you and I to grow as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is we need to be connected with the body, be connected with each other. The Apostle Paul likens the human body, and he says that's an illustration for the spiritual body for all of the Christians. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, he says, "So we, being many," there's many of us here, "we are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." You see that connection, that linkage there. We're members of one another. It's not just me by myself, but we are together. And for our body to grow, it has to be connected. If you cut off your hand or pluck out your eye or take off your ear, I don't even know, that body part is in deep weeds. It's going to shrivel and die. It's not going to live being disconnected from the body. Our body is also made up of several systems, and those systems need to be connected together for the whole body to be healthy and strong. your circulatory system. The heart pumps the blood, it gives it oxygen, and it fuels the rest of the body. The digestive system. How many are glad for your digestive system? Yeah. You digest food, it gives you energy for the body, it removes waste. The nervous system communicates messages to and from the brain to the rest of the body. The immune system fights disease and keeps the body healthy. The endocrine system releases hormones that regulate growth, metabolism, and general body function. If the body is not connected, the body is in trouble. It doesn't grow. It can't operate properly. And so we draw this conclusion about ourselves. It's there in your notes. We draw this following conclusion, is that followers of Jesus need to be connected to grow, just as the human body needs to be connected to grow. We need to be connected if we are going to grow. And what's sad is that there are some Christians, they go to church, but they're not properly connected in the body. They'll come and they'll sit and watch the body, but they never really get involved in, you could say, entangled with someone. There's people that come to church their whole life, and yet they feel they're a stranger. They really don't know anyone. And if that's the situation, that's not a real connection. That's not being in relationship the way Jesus wants us to be. Worse yet, I know some people who are Christians, and they say, you know what? I don't need the body. I don't need church. I don't like church. I don't like the body of Christ. They're full of hypocrites and all that stuff. You know, I don't know how you can say you love Jesus and you hate his body. How can you say that you love me but you hate my body? How can, here, the church is called the bride. If you like me but you hate my wife, we have issues. Okay? You know, you can't say you love someone, you hate their spouse. In the same way, in the body of Christ, we need to love the body of Christ, because when you become a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, you're part of the body, whether you like it or not. There are three advantages there in your notes. Three advantages that you and I have if we are properly connected to the body of Christ. Advantage number one this morning, if you're taking notes, is productivity. We have greater productivity. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. How many of you know you can accomplish a whole lot more by working in unity as a team than you can as an individual by yourself? I did some painting over Labor Day weekend. When I first started out, it was going so slow. But then my wife and my daughter came and helped. And I tell you, we really covered some ground. It helped being connected with other people. And when we as a body are connected together, it helps us be more productive both individually and corporately. Probably one of the best examples I can think of that is with our food pantry. In 2009, our food pantry had only one person in it. Only one person was running it, and that year we served 1,062 people. Okay, now, 1,000 people's a lot, but when Barb Walters became our leader several years back, she says, Pastor, one of the things I want to do is I don't want to be a one-man band. I want to build up a team. And she has done a fantastic job. She has over 20 volunteers. They had a party at their house yesterday. I heard it was a lot of fun, and I saw some great videos. I won't say who was clucking like a chicken, but it was really funny. They had a lot of fun. Barb built this team of 20 people. And I tell you, this last year, you know how many people we served? We served 15,000 people, over 15,000 people. And they gave away 90 tons of food. Isn't that awesome? Over 180 tons of food, but that's not it. Because there's so many people involved, they have been able to expand their ministry, and they give clothing away, they give household items away, they give haircuts, they give away pet food, and they have specialized prayer. And so people come, if they need prayer for something, every week they're prayed for, and they're encouraged, and they're supported. And that's the result of a team. What one person can do, a team of people, when they're connected together, working in unity, the same heart, the same mind, it explodes their productivity. That's the first advantage, and that's why we need to be connected together. That's why we try to build ministry teams in our church so that we can have a greater impact. If we have more life group leaders and more life group hosts, then we can minister to more people. More people can be encouraged. More people can be supported. More people can be comforted when they're going through life. They don't have to feel like they're going through alone because they're connected and part of a group. If we have a larger team, if we have more people involved in our nursery team, I want you to listen this morning. You hear that? It's quiet. You know why? Because all the babies are in the nursery. How many are glad you can hear the sermon because you don't hear a baby cry? Now, I'm not opposed to babies being in service, but if you've got 40 babies crying, yeah, you're not going to hear a whole lot. I'm so thankful for all of you who are part of our nursery team, but here's the thing. I know there's a whole lot more families in Casper that have babies that don't know Jesus and Jesus wants to bring them here, but we can't minister to them because instead of having 3 workers in the nursery on Sunday morning, we need 5. If we have 5 workers or 10 workers for that nursery, Jesus can bring in a whole lot more families with babies and we can minister to them. When we have more people up in Kids Church, in our Preschool Pond and Jungle Journey and Adventure Mountain, when there's more people in interconnecting with those kids, we can have small groups. And here's the thing. We want to develop small groups with our kids' ministries. You never know. Maybe you're picking up a child. You're bringing a child here to Kids Church, and that child has no encouragement at home. And if you're a small group leader in children's ministries, you might be the only positive voice in that child's life. And you're a Barnabas who, like Saul, sees the potential in that child and just invests in her and calls out her potential. And she now believes that she can be mightily used of God. If you become a youth sponsor, one of our youth small group leaders, if we have more of them, we can invest in more teenagers as students come into the church. Maybe they do not have any healthy representation of a Christian. And you're their small group leader, and you're the first genuine believer, the first follower of Christ who really lives it out. You're authentic, you're transparent, you're real, you have a passion for God, and they begin to see something in you, and you begin to minister to them. You can change their life. They say, this isn't a bunch of hokey pokey, this is reality. They can accept Jesus. Jesus can change their life. They tell their brothers and sisters about it who get saved. Their parents see a change, their parents get saved, and that teenager begins to walk in life with a new purpose, with a new meaning. They marry a Christian. Their whole path is different. They're not perpetuating a path of sin and destruction and bondage, but they're living in life and fruitfulness and freedom, all because you said, I want to be a small group leader in our youth ministry. That is the power of a team. When we're connected, we can have greater productivity. And friends, there are thousands of people in Casper that need Jesus, and they need our ministry. If we're connected as a team, we have greater productivity. That's the first advantage of being connected. Number 2 in your notes this morning, the second advantage of being connected as a body is help and comfort in a time of trouble. We have help and comfort in a time of trouble. Verse 10 and 11 in Ecclesiastes 4, it says, if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? This last Easter, we did a series called Forgiven. How many remember our Forgiven series? Or at least remember the word. One of the messages, as I was preparing for during the week, I felt the Lord say to me, there's going to be someone present who had an abortion, and they've asked God to forgive them, And even though they've asked God to forgive them, they still don't feel forgiven. They're carrying that weight. They're carrying that burden. And you need to communicate that they need to forgive themselves. I have forgiven them. And so during the altar time, I communicated that. Now, we heard this story later in the week, and I have permission to share it. There was a person who was in that service 24 years ago. They had an abortion. They knew it was wrong, but they went ahead and had one anyway. And afterwards, it felt so horrible. And for years, they have confessed and said, God, please forgive me. God, I'm sorry. And yet they've never felt forgiven. And so when I shared that during the altar time, once again, they said, God, forgive me, make me clean, I'm sorry, they prayed. And you know what? Nothing happened. But that week, they went to one of our life groups. And at the end of the group, when the group split up to pray, that person shared with their leader that 24 years ago had an abortion. I've never been able to be free. And the leader just shared a couple of scriptures about forgiveness and then led them in a prayer and basically just said, Jesus, hear this person right now as they pray to you. Forgive them. Help them to sense that. And then they instructed that person just to, in their own words, once again ask God to forgive them. And that person began to pray and they poured out their heart. And when they were finished, they looked at the leader and said, for the first time in 24 years, the weight is gone. I'm free. I feel forgiven. Friends, that's the power of connection. When you walk with someone, when there's a relationship there, when you're not trying to do life alone, that person really hadn't told anyone of what had happened, but when there was someone there and they connected, that's the power of connection. God heals. God comforts. You've fallen. I did something wrong. There's someone there. Hey, let me pick you up. Let me walk with you. God wants to walk again. You've fallen because life has knocked you down, not because of something you did wrong, but something that someone else did wrong to you or something bad just happened. That person is there to help you and pick you up. That's why we so much want everyone to be in a life group, because in life groups, we're there to pray and support and encourage each other. You need meals. You need help moving. You need help with something. Our groups, we try to take care of each other. The best way that we can take care of you is by you being in a group. But you and I, we need people to be connected to. And if you're not in a group, do you have some Christians that when you're hurting, you can say, hey, help me. Jesus never intended you as part of his body to walk through life alone. Paul said, when one member of the body hurts, all of us hurt. You know what the problem is? Sometimes we don't know that somebody's hurting. We don't know what a part of the body is hurting. And if nobody knows, nobody is there to pick you up when you've fallen. I encourage you today, if you're not really connected with anyone in the body of Christ, you'd begin to say, God, show me how to change that. Because I can guarantee there's going to be a time in your life when you've fallen and you'd say, help, there's nobody here to help me up. And if you haven't developed the connections when you've fallen, you're going to feel lonely, isolated, hopeless, and helpless. And we want to be here to support you and encourage you. But each of us have to make that choice. Yes, I will be connected. There's some of you that say, you know what, Craig, I've been in small groups before, and it just doesn't work for me. You know what? There is one time I was in like three different groups, and finally I found a group where I fit. If you've been in a group and you don't fit there, we give you permission to change groups. Our life groups start next week. Next Sunday we're starting. Pastor Josh has sign-ups out there. And if you've been in a group where you really don't fit, then go sign up in a group. We encourage you, get in a group, because we want to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to support you when you go through a difficult time in life. That's the second advantage of having connections in the body of Christ. And then the third one this morning is safety and security. The third advantage is safety and security. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, Two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm in a fight, now, I don't go around picking a fight, but if somebody's going to fight me and I have no choice, there's no way to escape. I don't know about you, but I would like to have odds 2-on-1 that there's me and someone else against one of them. How many would take those odds? 2-on-1 every time, huh? I mean, if that person's loyal to you, I don't need a disloyal person on my side because then they'll hold my back and I'm in deep. No, I'm talking about someone who's a genuine friend. 2-on-1's better, right, than 1-on-1? Friends, we fight a spiritual enemy, the devil. And if we think that we can be successful in the fight by fighting him alone, we're deceiving ourselves. Actually, he's deceiving us. Two are better than one. We are in a fight. We need people to stand with us. We're the body of Christ. We need brothers and sisters to stand shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, to help us in the fight that we fight. I have accountability partners. There's a couple of men that I talk to on a regular basis, and they ask me tough questions. Are you having your devotions? How's your priorities? How's your marriage? You taking time for your kids? Are you being honest in your finances, being honest in your life? Is there any secret sin? They ask the tough questions. I can't tell you the value of having people that I am connected to close enough in relationship that we're being iron that sharpens iron, that we're encouraging each other, we're helping each other to stay on the straight and narrow. I encourage you to be connected. There is safety, there is security in it. The last part of verse 12, Ecclesiastes 4, says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Many times, pastors will preach this at a wedding, and they'll talk about how an effective marriage, a strong marriage, is really not made up of two people, but of three. It's a husband, a wife, and God. And if God is at the center, if both of you are seeking God, then that threefold cord is a strong relationship. It'll make your marriage strong and healthy. I know this summer I did a marriage, and that was one of the verses. That was the verse that I used as I talked to the couple. And that is a great application of that verse. But you know what? That's not the only application of that verse. What the Apostle Paul what Solomon is saying there is that as believers, we need people that we're connected to in relationships. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. There are some of you here today, you're single. Maybe you're new to the church, you feel alone. Maybe some of you are widows or widowers. Some of you, maybe you feel isolated and alone just because of a problem you're going through in life. I know there's a lot of times we can feel that when we're going through something, we haven't told anyone about it, and we're all alone. This is what the psalmist said in verse 6 of Psalm 68. God sets the lonely in families. God sets the lonely in families. And maybe there's some of you here today, you feel lonely. You feel nobody cares. You feel like there's no one to walk with you in life. Maybe life has knocked you down. You've fallen. And you feel like you can't get up. You're weary. Life has just been beating you over and over and over and over. And you're just kind of limp. You've lost hope. You even wonder, does prayer even work anymore? Because you haven't seen any evidence of it. God sets the lonely in families, and that family is something outside of the natural. It's the family of God. When you joined with Jesus, when you said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, he said, I'm bringing you into a family, into a group of people. You're not alone anymore. Jesus said in Luke 9:58, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus didn't have a home, but he had a family. He had 12 guys that he walked with, and they were there. They encouraged him. They supported him. He was mentoring them, and yes, he was preparing them, but they were his family. John was his beloved. He was really close to him. John was his best friend. Jesus knew the importance of being connected, and he modeled that connection for you and I, that we shouldn't walk alone. You know, it's interesting, when Jesus said the birds of the air have no, that they have nests, nests are made up of broken branches. Birds don't take a big branch off a tree and make a nest out of it. They're broken branches, branches that have been snapped off. And there's some of you here today, you'd say, you know what, I'm too broken to be in a small group. I don't want people to see my struggles. I don't want people to see my problems. I'm too broken to really try to make friends in the body of Christ. I'm afraid of what people are going to say. You know what? This is a nest. This nest that Jesus has made is made up of broken branches. Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, fallen short of the mark. None of us are righteous. No, not one. All of us are broken. There is not a person here who is perfect and has it all together. It's okay to be broken, because God builds his nest with broken branches. And this morning, some of you, you're feeling broken, you're feeling lonely, you're hurting, and Jesus says, you're not alone. You're part of my family. Be connected.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.